So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. There in Genesis 1. Now you know, man is a mystery. What a mystery man is. Look at his being. His being. His existence. The very fact, the type of person he is. What makes him like he is. You know, spiritual and material at the same time. Bound in a body. Paul called it a tent. Bound in a body. Living in a body. Animated in a body. And yet living souls at the same time. Made by God, come from the hand of God Himself. Not only made by God, but we was made for God. And I don't know how to say this, but man, being the created being that he is, God's highest creation, man has never yet reached his potential as a man. I mean, there are some that's genius level, that they, and yet the man who's reached his greatest potential has fell so far short of what God created him to be. And that's why we so urgently preach the gospel and so urgently implore men to come to Christ, to trust Christ, to know Christ, is because He come from the hand of His Maker, the image of God stamped on His soul. And because He's a created being, He's the only being that can enjoy God, the only being that can know God, the only being that God died to redeem was man, a living soul. So what does it mean here when it says God created man in His image, in His likeness? Now I tell you right now, this is a difficult subject. As I began to look at it, I thought, boy, what in the world have I got myself into? It's a difficult subject. And why would we deal with it? Well, we deal with it because it's scriptural. Because it's scriptural. That's the first reason. There's lots of difficult things in the Bible that we deal with, but yet we deal with them because they're scriptural, just because they're difficult. If we resist them, we'd never learn anything from God's Word. We'd never be dependent upon the Holy Ghost. But it's scriptural. Look over here in Genesis 5. I'll show you what I'm talking about. You know, it's so scriptural. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created thee them. And Adam lived 100, verse 3, lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image. So you see, he was created in the image and likeness of God, male and female alike. Look in Genesis 9, 6. Genesis 9, 6. It says this. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you remember what James said in James 3:9. He says, with the same tongue, do we take the same tongue and bless God and praise God, and with the same tongue curse man who is made after the similitude of God? And over in Ephesians 4, and I want you to look at this with me, in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. I want you to look at these two places with me. Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. I want you to look at these with me just a moment here about the image of God. Created in the image of God. This is a very needful thing to look at here. It says here in verse 24 of Ephesians 4. He says that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God creates a man. When He created him, He created in righteousness and true holiness. In Colossians 3:10 said, have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You notice it says renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So we're dealing with this subject tonight because, first of all, it's Scripture. And when we, and I read there in Ephesians and Psalm 8, said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? When we look at man and begin to question man and see that he was here and read that he's created in the image of God, we have to lead us to, you know, we consider man to study this blessed truth. What is man? That's what David asked. What is man that you're even mindful of him? or the Son of Man that you visit him. You made him lower than the angels. So when we talk about man, we automatically have to go, where was God? How was he created? What image was he created in? What's wrong with him now? What happened to him? How do we explain the life that we have right now? Yeah. Apart from starting with God created us in his image. And it leads us also when we consider the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only perfect man who ever was created and made on this earth. Man truly in the image of God. Truly, Christ was truly a man. Perfect manhood. Not subject to fall. And the new birth. The new birth. If we're created in this image of God, what happens in the new birth? Is that image put back in us? How much of the image is put back in us? How much of the image is lost? And how much of the image is stay with us? So we got all these questions. But let me tell you this about this meaning of likeness or image. When it says God created, let us make man, create us, make him in our own image, in our own likeness. And there's no difference between the meaning of likeness and image. No difference whatsoever. They're interchangeable. You know, whenever you think about an image or a likeness, you think about looking in a mirror or looking at a photo. When you look in a mirror, you see a image, you see a likeness. You see your own image, you see a likeness of yourself or a likeness of someone else. And that's what the Scriptures tells us over 2 Corinthians 3:18, where Paul says that God took the veil off our face, took the veil off our hearts. And as that veil's been taken off, and that image of God in us, and that image of Christ in us, beholds the image of Christ.
Yeah.
As we behold that image of Christ, because of Christ in us, as we look at that image, like looking in a mirror, as we look at that image, we're converted and changed into that same image. And so as we see God and see what was created in God, we see how God created us in the image of it. And I tell you, this term likeness or image was used before the fall, before God ever made a man. He said, we're going to make you in our image. And when he did, he created it in his image and his likeness. And secondly, after the fall, he was still bore the image and likeness of God. Ain't that what he said? Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by him blood shall be shed, because he is in the image of God. And Adam, after he fell in Genesis 5, he says, male and female created to him in the image of God. And that was after the fall. And I say, beloved, the image of God wasn't lost entirely. That's why James says this, you know, you're going to bless God with one side of your mouth and curse man the other side who's made after the image of God. So, you know, God, this day, even when you're cursing a man, you're cursing somebody that God made in His image. In His image. Now, there's a great, great difference between man as he was made in the beginning by God and the manhood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, even as man came from his Maker in the image and likeness of God, there's an incredible difference and distance between what Christ was as a man and what we was when God created us in the garden.
That's right.
Great difference. Well, how do you mean by that? Well, the Scriptures tell us in Hebrews 3 that Christ was the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. Now, Christ was the... Whatever God is like, Christ is that. Whatever God's glory is, Christ has that glory. Now, man, when he was created in the garden, he's just a copy. He's just a created copy. Christ is the very image of God. We're just a created copy of the image of God and the likeness of God. Christ was the express image. I mean, when you looked at him, you see God. Perfect God, infinitely God, completely God, perfectly God. And when you looked at man, even as he was in the garden before the fall, he was just a copy. Just a copy. Christ is the image. We don't have the image of God like Christ did when he was created a man. Even when Adam was made, he was not have the image that Christ did of God. And let me say this, you know, God created man in his image, and when he did, he created him with two elements or two parts. The natural part, the material part, and the spiritual part. The natural part is this old body. The natural part is the mind, the understanding. And as the natural man, as the natural part of us, God made man higher than any of His other creations when He made him in the garden. Any other of His creation. And he is naturally different than any animal that's on the top side of God's earth. Naturally different than that. He can commune, we can commune one with another. We can't commune with animals. We're moral beings, and animals aren't moral beings. That's why the blood of bulls and calves couldn't put away sin. They're not moral beings. And the reason man's blood couldn't put away sin is because he's tainted by sin. He's a moral being, but his sin is tainted. But he's a moral being. It's something God... Animals aren't moral beings. Animals don't have souls. Animals don't know what morality is. Animals don't know what integrity is. Animals don't know what scruples are. Animals don't know what intelligence is. And man was made a perfect moral being. Morally perfect. When God made him... We were morally perfect. There was no bent left, right, up, down, nothing. We were standing there morally perfect with nothing but right in us. And then the spiritual image of God in us. And oh, I hope I can explain this right. This spiritual image, this soul that God put in us. This is the man. This is who we really are. This is it. We're living souls inhabiting dying bodies. And this man that's in us, this man is the one who is invisible. It's invisible. I'm looking at you and you look at me. We see one another. And yet, though we're looking at one another, yet we don't really see one another. There is a you that I can't see. And there is a me that you can't see. The soul, the spirit, the self. And that's the part of us, beloved, that, you know, this body, this soul, this spirit, this animates and it works through this body and expresses itself through this body. But, beloved, that soul, that spirit, that soul that God put in us, that is the self that hurts, the self that cries, the self that expresses, the self that aches, the self that fears, the self that has to do with God. This body don't. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to say this. We have never really seen ourselves. Picture yourself as you are inside. How much about yourself that you don't know? How much about yourself you can't express? How much about yourself that nobody's ever seen, that's never known about, and you don't even know the whole thing about yourself? And I tell you one thing, beloved, after the fall, I don't want to know myself no more than I know about me now. And how many times has somebody said, can't you see yourself? No, I can't. If I could see myself, I would correct the flaws in myself. I can't see you, your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, your person that's sitting there tonight. Listen, I can't see you and you can't see me. That's the man. That's us. That's our person. And secondly, this spiritual image of God, we are rational beings. And this makes us different than anything else on top side of God's earth. We're rational beings. Beings with minds, with intellect, with morality, with integrity. We think. That philosopher says, I think, therefore I am. Now you think about it. That is really a profound thing. I think. I think. Does that dog think? Does that cat think? Does that cow think? Does that bull think? Does that horse think? Does that lion think? Does that lioness think? Does that giraffe think? Does that whale in the middle of the ocean think? They don't have the ability to think. They go by the instinct that God put in them. We think. We have a will. A will that's motivated by something, by an understanding. We can desire. Animals can't desire. We can desire. We have desires. And they're good desires. If we and I pray that God give us a desire to know Him better than anything else. We can reason. We can reason things out. We can sit down and reason things out. We can start with this problem and go through and reason that problem out, reason out a situation. Nothing else can. We can analyze a situation. We can meditate. We can reflect. We can plan. We can do problems and analyze situations. Animals can't do that. We can meditate on ourselves. We can meditate and reflect on our lives. We can meditate and consider where we've been and where we're going. We can plan tomorrow as far as God's will, but there's not an animal that will get up tomorrow and plan his day. We can sit down and deal with problems and issues, but they can't. That's because the image of God's in us. And we're conscious of ourselves. A self-awareness. And I tell you, this is something. And here's the thing about it. We're conscious of ourselves. We have this awareness of ourselves, of our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, our ability to reason, to think, to analyze, to meditate, to be afraid of what we think, what we do, what we're going to do, make plans, reason things out, consider things, worry. We're conscious of ourselves. And I'll tell you something, we don't have the ability to get rid of self.
No.
If you could leave self, would you leave him?
No.
I sure would like to get rid of self. Just self is who bothers my problem. And that's what this is talking about. Self. We're aware of self.
Right.
When you have a problem with another person, it's generally not another person's fault. It's self's problem. And you can't get rid of self. That's because we're self-aware. We're self-conscious. No other being on the top side of God's earth like that. And these all are the parts of divine image that God put us in us. And all, listen, God, man can contemplate himself. He can sit and contemplate himself. I don't know about you. Did you, any of you, when it hit a certain age, you start thinking, what in the world have I amounted to? What am I going to do? What if I left a... If I left any kind of a footprint, do I have any kind of influence over anybody? Do I amount to anything? What have I been doing with my whole life? When it's all said and done, when my life is over, when I look back, is there anything at all that had any evidence that I had any mark upon anybody at any time under any circumstance? Is this what I wanted to do? And oh my, we can contemplate ourselves. We can examine ourselves. We can analyze ourselves. Now, the fall greatly affected all of these things. But every bit of this is evidence of God's image in us. No other animal can do this. No other thing can do this. And God's evidence. I want you to look back over with me in Ephesians 4 now. God's image is evident in us. By our moral and intellectual integrity. What do I mean by that? I mean, beloved, when God created us, He created us, and when He, in the new birth, He restores this image. It doesn't say that He makes a new image. He restores it. He restores it. The image of God's in us, and it's there. And it's greatly marred. But in the new birth, what God does is He restores that. He says here in Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, this man that's created, this man, this person that the Spirit of God has regenerated, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, when God created Adam, was he a righteous man?
No.
Well, he had his own righteousness. He was a righteous man only in his righteousness. And he was a holy man coming from his Creator. But he was a man, and he was a mutable man. And so what happened was this image of righteousness and true holiness, God puts that back in us with the new birth. He restores that image of righteousness. We did not know what righteousness was, and we did not have, we had an idea of what it was. We hoped we knew what it was, and we tried our best to come up with our own righteousness. But when God regenerated us, He created in us a true righteousness, where we understand what true righteousness is because we have it now. Yeah. And not only that, but true holiness. We don't have a sham holiness, don't have a made up holiness. We don't have a holiness of our own making. Our hearts are not holy. Our spirits are not holy because we made it ourselves, or we had our concept of it and attained to it. God put that in us. That was created in us in creation, and He restores it. And look over here in Colossians 3:10. I want you to see this. Oh, when God made us, there was no falseness about us. And when you love Him, and now since we're created in the righteousness that God made us and restored that righteousness and holiness in us, we don't want no falseness in us now. But when God made us, there was no falseness in us. When Adam was in the garden, there was no falseness in him. Nothing was imperfect. Nothing was wrong. He was upright. He was a balanced person. Now we're out of balance. But when God made us, we was made in balance. And that's where now we find our joy and peace in God. It's God's righteousness and holiness in it. But He wasn't too far this way. His holiness and His righteousness and His knowledge and His obedience and the image of God in Him was perfect. He stood level. No falseness in Him because He was in the presence of God as my God took Him from His hand. And look here in Colossians 3:10. And he said, "You have put on the new man," watch this, "which is renewed in the knowledge of Him." Renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created Him. The image of the knowledge of God's there, and it's greatly marred, and God restored that image of the knowledge of God in us. We know God. We have the knowledge of God. He renewed that knowledge in us. And I'll tell you, all you've got to do to understand how far off men are from the knowledge of God, and if God don't restore that image and do something for a man, you just listen to him talk about God and talk about himself. Let him talk about righteousness, holiness, and knowledge about what he knows about God, and it'll be a million miles off. But the reason he does it is because that image is in there. And he don't know how to get back to where that image is. And we didn't either. God came and done the work in us. And the image of God shows itself in man's dominion over the earth. Isn't that what he says? Let us make man in our own image. And he says, and let us give him dominion over the sea, over the land, over everything in the sea, over every beast, every fowl, everything on the top side of God's earth. And that's what I read to you in Psalm 3. 8, he says, thou hast given him dominion over all the works of your hands. Wherever your work is, God gave us dominion over it. Man goes out in the ocean, he has dominion over the fish. Goes out hunting, he has dominion over the animals. And another way man is made in the image of God, once God made him, he became immortal. He's a mortal being. And that's why it says this mortal shall put on immortality. We are mortal beings, but we'll put on immortality one of these days, just like God has. We're created in that image with immortality. Well, let me ask you this question. What was man's original state? When God made him there, what was his original state as he stood before his Maker? Well, as he was originally made, he was connected, first of all, to the earth. God took him out of the earth and he made him from it, and he said that you subdue the earth and you dress the garden and you labor here in this earth. You take care of this earth. This earth is yours and you take care of it. He's connected to the earth. And secondly, he was also connected to God. As he come from God, God created him, and he was connected to God as his lifeline, as his soul, as his Creator, is his sustainer, as the one that he could know and fellowship with and obey. I'll tell you something else about him when God made him in his original state. He was made as God's representative in the whole world. You know, had not Adam failed, I mean, he was a representative. Adam did not stand just alone. He was going to represent every one of his children after him. He was a representative. Had he not failed, and had he not taken that fruit, Adam would have continued to live, and his people would have continued to live, his children would have continued to live. And maybe after so long at the time, I don't know, it's just speculation on my part, maybe man would have got past the place where he had ever been able to fall from then. I don't know. But I know he was, God made him his representative. This is the one who's going to represent me to the world, to creation, to the earth, to the animals, everything on this earth, to his own children, and all those that come after him, he's going to be my representative. Well, he blew that. He blew that, which we'll deal with that next time, next week. And I tell you, he was intelligent, as he came and he was able to understand. You know how intelligent he was and how able he was to understand God and God's Word and what God told him to do. The Scripture says that God brought him to animals. God brought them to him. Brought them to him and says, name this one. Name that one. Took him out the ocean. Name this. Name that. Name that tree. Name it. Start naming. And I don't know how long it took him to name them, but he named them. How intelligent must you be to be able to name everything that's on this earth the way it's named right this moment? There ain't been no names have changed of anything that I know of since God made man. And he gave Adam. How intelligent was that? Well, what was relationship to God? I'll tell you what it was. He is utterly and absolutely dependent upon God.
Yes, sir.
Dependent upon him. For his life. He was the dependence of a child to a father, a son to a father. I mean, he was dependent on him. God made him. And if we are to obey God, and God put parents in the position of God and says, now you are the head of the house, then how much more is our children responsible to obey us? But he was obedient. He was dependent. He had the dependency of a child. I mean, beloved, he depended on God for everything. And I tell you what else, he was also obedient. He was an obedient man. I mean, God said, dress the garden. He dressed the garden. God said, name the animals. He named the animals. He said, subdue the earth. He subdued the earth. And he did it. How long he was in the garden before he fell? I don't know. Nobody else does either. And all but the most important thing about him, as God made him and as he stood before his maker, was his the glorious way that he could commune with God. His fellowship with God.
Yeah.
He could walk and come into the very presence of God. I mean God. Not an image of God, God. Who made him and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life? He could come into his presence and commune with him and talk with him and fellowship with him and do it without fear. We come with some fear. We come with some trepidation. We come with trying to humble ourselves. We come hard-hearted. We come cold. But he came without any fear in the presence of God and walked with him and talked with him and communed with him. Oh, well, what was his spiritual condition? Look back over in Genesis right quick and I'll be done. Genesis 1:31. What was his spiritual condition in his original state as God originally made him? What was his spiritual condition? It says here in Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So here he's seen everything that he made was good and very good. So when he looked at Adam, he said, this is good, very good. Good, very good. And Ecclesiastes 7:29 says that God made man upright.
Yeah.
Made him upright. Now that don't mean that he was just physically upright. But it means he was morally upright. He was spiritually upright. And that's the way we look at folks, you know. We look at folks, you know, their uprightness, their character. And his character was perfect. Upright. Morally, spiritually, intellectually. And let me tell you this in closing. There was a perfect harmony as God originally made him in his image. There was a perfect harmony between his body and his spirit. The body did not hinder his relationship with God. And his spirit never hindered his relationship with his body or one of the other. Now, we're not like that. Our body hinders us bad. But there was a harmony between them. And let me show you what I know about this, because the conscience proves this. I mean, his body had nothing to do with his relationship with God or his spiritual part. Now, they have a great effect upon us. But the conscience proves this. When our conscience accuses us, when we sin, and you can only sin in the body. I don't know how to say that other than that. You know, we have these imaginations, that, but we sin with the body.
Yeah.
We sin with the body. And this conscience proves this. And when our conscience accuses us, when we sin, it's proof of man's original sinlessness. The very fact that our conscience accuses us when we sin, we know that it's wrong to sin. Why do we know it's wrong to sin? Because God originally made us without sin. And we know it's wrong to sin. And bless His holy name, we'll one of these days, real soon, be without it again. You know, as far as God's concerned, we're without it now. But one of these days, we'll see Christ as He is. And bless His holy name, we'll be as He is.
Yes.
And this body right now that so affects our spiritual condition and so affects our relationship with God and so affects our relationship with one another and so affects our spirituality, when God gives us a new body, that body of Christ, it'll never affect us again. We're going to go back. And I tell you what, we're going to be better. Right now our standing before God's better than Adam's was before he fell. Adam stood righteous in his own righteousness. We stand in the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
Adam stood in his own obedience. We stand in the obedience of Christ. Adam disobeyed God. Christ obeyed him. And we're going to be made and we're going to be restored to that image in such a better, higher plane than Adam ever had, because we'll be made in the image of Christ and enjoy Him forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, thank You for the privilege of allowing us to meet here tonight. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your truth. I pray that You, in Your wondrous sovereign mercy, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, would open our understanding to these things of the Scriptures, the things of God. Lord, we find it hard to understand how we was created in the image of God when we're like we are now. But yet You said we were. And You restored that image. And that's why we commune with You now. That's why we speak with You. That's why we fellowship with You. That's why we call on You. That's why we're dependent upon You. Because You restored that image. Not perfectly, but You restored it. And we thank You for it. In Christ our Lord's name. Amen.